welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today, we are into episode 6, season 3 of House of the Dragon. And Matt, I'm not going to quiz you on the name of it because I already know it. Do you know it? I said I wasn't going to quiz you.
Man.
That's right. It's Faceless Man. I realized I said I was going to quiz you and then immediately quizzed you.
Quizzed me. Yeah, it's just only because I remember because when I was watching it, I was like, Faceless Man. And then I had nothing to do with Faceless Man.
Yeah, kind of a bait and switch.
But it did have assassination attempt.
It did have an assassination attempt that I thought was pretty awesome, actually.
It's funny. I was texting you and I was like, man, I have mixed feelings about this episode. Although it is an amazing episode. And I think I'll just start with how are you doing, by the way?
We have some news, actually.
Yes.
We do have some news, but I'm not well, but how are you?
did okay. I woke up with a little bit of a sore throat today. So now I feel like I'm going to get sick. God, I hate it.
Oh, yeah. That trepidation. You start slamming, vitamin emergency. C gummies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get sick very often. So anytime I'm like, oh, man, it's starting to feel like my lymph nodes a little swollen.
Summer sickness, Matt.
Seriously.
Be careful.
Yeah. But yeah. Otherwise, you have some news? You're doing good?
Yeah. I'm not. It's whatever. Life is life, right? But
right.
The cool thing is that we actually got a little tidbit of what George is actually working on.
Yes.
Did you see this?
He is working on Dunkin' Egg Part 4.
He is working on the fourth story in Dunkin' Egg. And this is very pleasing to me. I know there's a lot of people that won't be happy about that, but we've said for the longest time, one, we'll take any George book he wants to release, but two, Dunkin' Egg is just as important to me and you as the main series is.
Yeah, I think that the way I kind of read that was that he has always been working on Part 4 and that it's not like he's stopped working on Winds of Winter, because a lot of people are like, that means Winds is finished because he said he wouldn't work on anything else until Winds. I just sort of took that as like, yeah, he's always kind of said he's working on many different things, but I don't think that it means he has said I'm finished with Winds or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's probably mostly just fluid and he works on whatever he's comfortable working on at the time. And, you know, I imagine book 4 of Dunkin' Egg is far easier to work on Winds of Winter. So I can't imagine.
And maybe he wants to get stuff ready for a season 4.
I would say if I had to guess.
He doesn't want to be in the same boat as he was for Game of Thrones is my guess.
Yeah. And also, I think maybe he just has a love for Dunkin' Egg and how much simpler of a story it is. And shorter fiction has always been George's strong suit, which is hilarious considering his most beloved thing is so long. But before that, he was always a short novel guy, short story guy, novella guy. And that all came from Ira Parker, by the way. If people want to look it up, you can go on The Hollywood Reporter, which seems to be the outlet, by the way, for like
sure.
Game of Thrones news, isn't it? It's like the number one we see from.
Every time.
Yeah. So Ira Parker said this. There was some other stuff mentioned. I don't think it's really, you know, anything that's worth mentioning, except one thing I read, and it's the headline. Ira Parker saying season 2 of the Night of Seven Kingdoms has been a bastard to make. Oh, and sure. Part of me is like, why? And he goes into a little bit in the article, but I never like seeing those things.
I think season 2 to me is the season that would be the most difficult to make, just because like seasons 1 and 3 essentially are just tourneys. So everything's kind of there. And whereas season 2, there's multiple locations that you're at, like the kind of, you know, you're dealing with the river and then you go back to the, you know, different houses and there. So it seems it seems to me like it's kind of like multiple sets that you're dealing with. So I can see why that would, or multiple locations as opposed to just like one.
Yeah. And that's kind of what he says is apparently between Spain and wherever else they've been filming, there's like been a ton of floods. So it's like a physical issue where they're postponing filming. And that comes because, like you say, the setting of season 2 is going to be a lot different. And also the episodes are going to get bumped up to 35 minutes a piece, which I think is good news for us. Right. But I do think that season 2 has a lot of promise. It's supposed to come out in the first half of 2027. So that's That's that 1 year we talked about that's going to be huge for this show, and people are going to stay engaged with it. Robert Parker is still telling HBO executives that he wants to take several year hiatuses throughout the series to allow the actors to age.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, by the way. I would just like to say that's insane. But, you know, Ira Parker's done a good job so far. Maybe he's onto something. It depends on
how much time you want to give these people in between. I mean, you know, if you take like two, I mean, you also don't know. I mean, because if you go back and you watch like Harry Potter, I mean, once you get to Order of the Phoenix, I mean, some of the kids, like the guy who plays like Neville, I mean, boom, like explodes. While some of the other people take a little bit longer because everyone just goes through puberty and grows up totally different, and you know, however long the age and everything.
Yeah, and you have other aspects, right, of people who work on the show that aren't actors and actresses, and you need them around to kind of keep the feel of the show. So, I don't know. He said he wants a fourth and fifth season, and then the hiatus. And he basically said if they tried to recast Egg, he wouldn't. Like he's not doing it. Like he's against it. So,
yeah, I mean, but who even knows? I mean, by the time you get there, let's say you're, I mean, that's 5 years down the line, and then, or I don't know, however many years down the line, we're going into season two to get to season five. So you're 4 years down the line. And then what if you take it, who knows how tall that kid will be by then. And then if he takes you take 2 years off to get ready for a big season six, what's he look like then? You never know.
Yeah, maybe the other thing is the actor will be growing up and going through all these things.
Who knows how much TV is going to be done? Who knows how much TV is going to be done by AI then? Why not? I mean,
he's not.
I mean, I'm just saying. But I mean,
I know. If it's
you know, like him, but he's the one acting, but then you're using AI to digitally age him. I mean, that's better. That to me is like no different than CGI or where they're doing.
Yeah, that you know, as long as it's good. What, like, here's the thing.
But it'd be a different thing to just say we're going to use AI to completely like computer generate some.
Oh, then it's over. Yeah, it's over. Yeah. At that point, the last piece of this article I think is worth mentioning, and this is probably the one people would have most fun with or at least speculate on, is George showed Ira Parker unreleased Duncan Egg material that George apparently just found in his files. Like he happened upon it, which is a little weird, but apparently that material's in season two and it is dubbed canon.
Let's go.
So go. What in the world is that going to be? My guess, Matt, and this is just me, you know, putting it out there, is some sort of connection to the main series. That's my guess.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Whether that's like a Melisandre showing up or like, who knows what it could be. It might even be just including something around Bloodraven.
Yes.
Like that could be possible, but exciting news for season two. And I hope that the flooding and stuff, obviously way more important for the people that live there. Hopefully they're okay, but hopefully everything works out and they're able to hit the schedule and we get that 1 year break between each season, which is just, we need it. We need it so badly.
Well, that's a perfect segue into this episode. Speaking of being connected to the books, this show, first of all, let me say this, is amazing television. However, it's not even close to the books anymore. I mean, like, it is, I can see what, I mean, that doesn't mean that I dislike the show. I think it deserves all the nines and tens that it's getting, and I'm right there with you, and I think, like, it's awesome. But I mean, yeah, this episode to me was the one where it's like, all right, now you can't even begin to even try to compare these any or like think that it's gonna framework wise. Like a lot of people have been like a lot of the stuff I've been kind of pushing off. But I mean, framework wise now, I totally see where they're going with a lot of the stuff, which is OK. I mean, like, I'm not like upset by it. I'm not. It is what it is. But they're so, I mean, we're just framework wise compared to the books. It's so far apart now. That it doesn't mean I dislike the show. I still think the show is fantastic, and I still think it all fits for the Game of Thrones TV universe. But I felt like we were doing a very good job of somewhat being connected to the books. And there's some characters we'll get to, like Wayne Hightower, who had a huge moment today, but
again, awesome. He's
nowhere close. And so it's like, okay, I can see why they're keeping him alive and they're doing what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, the stuff with Corlys and just everything. I mean, so far apart.
So you're not going to be making any predictions anymore, would you say?
No, I think you can still make predictions because I can. We're so close to the end now, actually, that we're, you know, we're over halfway of the show. I mean, now I think I can totally see where all the big moments are going to be. I think I can map out the entire rest of the show now, like all of next season's episodes as well.
We're going to do that at the end, so keep that in mind.
Yeah. Or we'll do it on Patreon, that we can keep it a separate whatever. But yeah, I'm down to do that. But yeah, I think now it's pretty easy to see that we are so far removed from any framework of the books, which is fine again. But yeah, just that was like my biggest takeaway from this is just like, man. But it's still an amazing episode, and I think the series is great. But I mean, I have mixed feelings today. Just what I feel.
So I think whenever I hear framework, though, I think of like bullet points, right? And I think that the big bullet points that like really matter, I think they're still going to happen. So to me, it's almost like way more of a maneuvering to get to those places, while definitely changing character arcs for sure, which I think was necessary for the way they tried to focus this, you know, primarily around Allison Rhaenyra at the beginning. Which I think was a good idea. I mean, some people will probably disagree with that, but television's different. Like, you have to have the promotional materials. You have to give people somebody to take the side of in a conflict like that. Not that either of them are perfect by any means. That's why we had that huge, like, Blacks versus Greens. Remember how nasty that got on social media before we stopped looking at it? Social media. So I think the framework thing, I don't know. I still think a lot of the big points are going
to we're going to get to the like biggest bullet points, but I think all of the medium, I mean, certainly all the small ones, those get changed all over the place, but even the medium ones, it's just like, man, I think those are out the window too now. And it's going to be kind of like Game of Thrones, where it's like George apparently told Dan Dave Bran becomes king, but we don't know.
Right.
You know,
how that happens.
Right. Bran becoming king in the books means we still have to deal with young Griff and Lady Stoneheart, which weren't in there, but you still have to deal with like the Sept and the White Walkers and the, you know, there's just so much.
And then you have the stuff that was, you know, completely Dan and Dave, which from what we know is John and Danny's demises or, you know, situation, whatever you want to call it. So, I definitely agree that there's like huge changes for sure. But I think the story probably calls for it at some point, just because of characters are being used.
Right. And the fact that there's still, and that this whole thing has still been a Rhaenyra, Alicent, that's what they want the focus of the story. Because remember, in the books, Alicent kind of, she just falls off. I mean, her arc just completely falls off while everything else takes over, which I was texting you earlier and I said, man, some of this stuff is really, really, really good. And I see how they're going to use it. And I think like, man, that's actually a really cool way to do it. And then some of the other stuff I'm like, it's just, I don't like this. I'll get it. Cause this, my biggest negative is I think this whole Alicent going to Harrenhal thing is totally stupid. I'm just,
I mean,
it's just the fact that the whole thing has been, hey, I can't allow you to leave because you keep trying to escape because you're my prisoner. And I get where they're going with it. And without going to spoilers, I think one of those points is going to be even more amazing. I think the other one is they're going to use Alicent to, one, you need Alicent gone for some stuff to take place at the Red Keep, which I think that's actually a good way to do it. But the same time, her going to Harrenhal is just she's gonna show up, and Aemon is gonna sort of overcome his mommy issues, and she'll be there to see
it. Which is big.
It's big, but you don't need it. Like, I don't think you need that whatsoever, because we already had the scene where he tried to kiss her, and then now he's found somebody else. So it could simply be that Alys Rivers is the thing that gives him the satisfaction that he needs. Right. I mean, so she's clearly manipulating him. I mean, as she manipulated Daemon. But I don't know that you need Alicent there to be there. And then at the same time, I know she's doing it because she's keeping Helena prisoner, but I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Yeah. I think it's pretty easily justifiable sending her away because of how much she cares about Helena. To me, that's kind of Rhaenyra's leverage and why she feels pretty confident that she'll come back. And if she doesn't, who knows what could happen to Helena, right? While Rhaenyra has it. So I don't necessarily mind her sending her away. And I just don't think I'm ready to say Aemon doesn't need it, because I don't know what is going to happen. Like, I like on the face Aemon's character having to deal with this again. I think it's a compelling thing. Whether or not it ends up being good or not, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. And but also at the same time, which again, I don't think you needed Alicent to leave, but it takes something that is already amazing, which is the Helena arc. Helena's arc might be the best arc of this entire season, by the way. I mean, Aegon. She has
Aegon.
I don't know, dude. Helena's arc is so freaking sweet. When Rhaenyra said, "Oh, she's a dreamer," that's one of my favorite lines of this entire show, because it does so many things. One, it just expands, and like now Rhaenyra is even giving Rhaena some sort of, or giving Helena, excuse me, this like mystical validation, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, like Alice Rivers, when we see her do stuff with Daemon and these prophecies and everything, we're 100% bought in. And this is the case with A Song of Ice and Fire anyway. It's when we're seeing magical stuff going on, we're like, oh, this is cool. But when people start being skeptical of it, we ourselves also are skeptical, you know, of the mm-hmm. magic, right? Like, oh, Grumpkins and Snarks. But then when we see them, okay, well, you know, maybe they're right. So it was such a cool scene, because Rhaenyra gives her validation, because she knows Dan, you know, the dreamer, and Alicent, who kind of always views it as whatever, and Aegon, who viewed it like, what are you talking about? She's like, no, I'm scared of the rats. What are you talking about? And it gives her that validation. At the same time, it also sort of validates the whole Aegon the Conqueror prophecy that Viserys was telling Alicent, and she believed was Aegon her son, because she continuously misunderstands, or what's the word I'm looking for? Underestimates Targaryens.
Mm-hmm.
Now she does agree, and she says, well, sometimes the thing she says comes true, but you can still see it with mostly skepticism.
Yeah, definitely. And prophecies are always misinterpreted in this world, so and ours too, I guess. So I do think Helena's arc's like great.
I think it's the best arc of the whole season.
Yeah, I would still go with
Aegon's arc is great.
And I think Daeron is really starting to Daeron's, come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm quite intrigued by that actor. The thing is at first, listen, he's not that important in the books. I know some people like really ride and die for him, and people are like, oh, they can't not include it. I don't care about Daeron or Daeron, whatever. But in the show, I think they've done a great job, and it's almost been like just a little bit more of him each episode since he's come on screen, and he's doing such a phenomenal job. Oh. So that's one of the things I think is way better than it was in the book. Actually, all the Hightower stuff. How about that? I think all the Hightower stuff's really great.
Yeah, it's been way better, and we dive into it a lot, because this is a loaded episode. This is something I saw some people complaining about online, because it's a line that is fantastic, but it's a line that I feel like works better in a book context than it does on a TV show. And it's about Kristen Cole's death.
Yeah.
And so basically most of the stuff goes down almost line for line, the exact same way, right? Where they're saying, you know, here we go here. What is that? Who are they? You know, our death, Kristen Cole. So he like knows, you know, it's coming. All that stuff comes. I've made my peace with the depth. I need more bones, all of that stuff. But after he is shot, you have Rob Rivers and the two of his archers raise their longbow, which they changed here, and they have it as Alisane Blackwood, by the way. So getting her in a little early, which is cool. Or at least just getting her on screen. Three arrows flew across the field, striking Cole in his belly and neck and breast. I'll have no songs about how brave you died, Kingmaker, declared Longleaf. There's tens of thousands dead on your account. He was speaking to a corpse. So I saw some people complaining about it because, I mean, here it says he gets shot, but it doesn't necessarily say he dies. And then you read the line, oh yeah, he's dead. It has the impact of it when you're reading, because you get to the next line, it's like, oh yeah, he's like totally dead. Yeah. But in the book, you just, in the show, I think it's just the shock value is totally fine.
Yeah,
that was something I saw on Twitter. People many people were complaining about, like, how could you not include this line? It's so good. And it's like,
I can kind of see their point, only for the fact that like it doesn't cost any money to put in that line. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like some big CGI thing, like,
right,
where, you know, the Greyjoys aren't in the show really. And it's like, well, I wanted to, well, that would have been expensive to shoot all those things. So I guess one does have to kind of wonder why they left it out, considering the fact that Cole, what was it last week when he's talking about the songs being made about him?
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted a bittersweet ending to Kristen Cole. And instead of just putting it out there, like, he's dying and you think about the words that he said, what he wanted his death to be. And he died in such an anti-warrior way, really. I shouldn't say.
Well, he did. I mean, he did have a huge fight scene right before, which is pretty sweet.
He did.
But
I
thought him with the Allison's handkerchief and like I thought that was pretty poetic for him.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. I can understand why people are like, why not just say it? But they didn't. So I thought the Allison handkerchief was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was great to give to. Circle back to his whole existence. He went from,
yeah, you see, you feel Allison. Some pity for him almost, but then you remember he's just an absolute scumbag, dude.
Right. Yeah. And I still feel like we needed just a little bit more of him this season.
Yeah, I think the binge will help that. I really do.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's something that, yeah, like you said, will be better.
Waiting
we'll
two be better and a half change. Years for.
Yeah, because then it makes speed. It just makes his important stuff feel further away. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I have a ton of stuff as I was going through here, so we can go a little bit through some of the notes. Yeah. Damon with another great one-liner insult. They have just been consistent all season, and his line was, "I'll have no more from those whose greatest battle is indigestion." That one.
I'm gonna use that on my uncle at Thanksgiving.
Oh, that line was so ridiculous. Fantastic.
Man. Yeah, that one got me pretty good. I've enjoyed the small council, the new one, the dysfunctional one that isn't very helpful.
Yeah. So I thought that was great. I'm just gonna go over some of my bullet points, then we can jump around. Miss Andy having a little moment in which we see her say, oh, like, who is that? No, I didn't suspect, you know, I suspect her. Like, let me know when it's done. So beginning to go after people as the Master of Whispers. I think that's going to boil into something bigger. I actually need to kind of wait and see what it turns into ultimately. But I did just a thing to notice, because clearly they're setting that up. Corliss. There's another thing. I don't like it.
Yeah, you weren't so hot about him.
I wasn't so hot about it before. Now I really don't like it. He gets captured, you know,
happened? We say that without a spoiler tag? Because it could still happen.
Well, it's already happened and it's different and it's like okay.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for
it. No, I don't. In the books, basically, he gets captured because, you know, I mean, there's like dissension growing among the house and stuff like that. But Rhaenyra is far more mad even at this point in the books. And so she imprisons him. But that's not even close to being what's going to happen in the show.
Yeah, it would seem. I mean, a lot of people are
I don't think he is, but he could be. I mean,
he could be.
At this point, it wouldn't, if that was like the end of Corliss in the show, I don't think so. But
two hands dead at the beginning and the end of the episode is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, so many other parts. Ormond Hightower. What a just insane scene. One, he's, you know, we got a lot of his viewpoints about many things. I would say even more specifically how he feels about his cousin, or right? Gwen. Yes, it is his. No, it's his brother, Gwen.
No, yes. It's cousin. It's his cousin.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on it.
Yeah, Ormond is. I believe Ormond is. Now you got me wondering. Hold on, Ormond.
I'm blanking. Yeah.
To Gwen. Like,
regardless, I think you're right. Anyway, yes. So regardless, first cousins in the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Regardless, obviously he doesn't seem to do some mocking of his. I think is most likely his, you know, sexual preference or whatever. Also, like, sort of saying a lot of things about Rhaenyra just because Rhaenyra is a woman, right? She's a woman. Yay. She's squeamish.
Which is ironic considering guys come in dressed that, you know, they're covered in mud and maybe stink a little bit. And he's like, oh, I can't handle, I'm going to vomit. Well, it's like, dude, you're the worst.
Well, you know, that caused me to happen when he couldn't handle the smell. And then Gwen ends up killing all of them. And he then begins to, like, massively throw up. Has this guy ever fought in any battle at all? Because that just seems unlikely.
I think that maybe he's giving the orders from afar.
Oh, for sure.
Also, if you slice somebody up, you can walk away pretty quickly. You don't have to hang out with the corpse. I'll tell you what I took away from that scene. One,
if you're anything like me, you've probably got a growing list of books you want to get through but never seem to find the time. That's why I've been using 11 Reader. Not only does it have over 200,000 premium audiobooks, but it lets you turn just about anything into a natural sounding audiobook. PDFs, articles, EPUBs, even documents you already have. One of my favorite features is being able to choose the narrator for anything I upload. It's amazing how much a different voice can completely change the immersion of a story. Sometimes the right narrator is the difference between a book you're just listening to and one you're completely pulled into. A gritty fantasy novel, a mystery, or even a history book can all feel completely different depending on who's telling the story. An 11 Reader gives you the freedom to find the voice that fits the book. It's become one of my favorite ways to catch up on reading while I'm driving, working out, or just taking the dog for a walk. Instead of watching another 20 minutes of social media, I actually make progress on my reading list. You can try 11 Reader for free, and if you decide to upgrade, use promo code podcast to get your first 2 months for just $1.
Terrific setup and everything.
Oh, it was great.
Because I'm dumb. I didn't realize that they were assassins until it happened. So I was like, oh, like, whoa, what's going on? And then you think about it and you're like, what a good move by Rhaenyra. Assuming it was Rhaenyra. I mean, we could speculate if it's someone else. I think it is Rhaenyra, but here's the thing. Ormond, and I said this 2 episodes ago, kind of when we first started getting real dialogue from him, I said, I get this feeling that there might be some form of abuse going on, not just physical abuse, right? Like,
oh, sure.
Very awful things happening to Darren. And this episode, it's hinted at. And you might say, well, he's mocking Gwen for, you know, being a homosexual. So, of course, he isn't. But I believe it's projection because he calls Rhaenyra squeamish. And then is squeamish himself. So he's clearly projecting. And I think that he has been abusing Darren. I think he used to abuse Gwen, and Allison kind of hints that he thought he was cruel, but she thought he was fine. So to me, everything Ormond does is projection.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, yeah. And also Ormond's just a terrible human being.
Setting him up as a great character. I mean,
what a great job in a season. I mean, just exactly. Really,
and that's where I'm at. Like, man, some of the stuff they have, like, while it isn't following the books, the stuff that they have expanded out has all been, I mean, for the most part, I shouldn't say all, because I said some stuff about like the Allison stuff. But I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is freaking fantastic. The stuff you're
expanding. Yeah.
Again, I mean, look, we are drastically pushing plot points down and bringing other plot points up and totally changing the structure of the whole thing. But yeah, Darren and Ormond, huge, great character. Even Gwen, because in the books he's been dead for a while at this point. So we have he's a total wild card now.
He could be a lot of fun with these events that are about to play out, and him and Allison are about to get closer geographically.
We have no clue what's going to happen with him.
No idea.
In the show,
Yeah, and to get all these characters over with the audience this fast is just that's why I think season three is like head and shoulders above the other ones because of just what they've been able to accomplish. And another thing, Rhaenyra having a complete slow, methodical transformation. At least for me, I feel like the pacing of her changing is really well done, like really good. And you almost felt earlier in the season, like, man, she needs to kind of to get a little more cruel. She needs to get a little bit more of a backbone with these people talking to her like this. And now,
the thing you have to remember is in the books, it's written. At the end of the day, it's written by Mushroom, a fool, and Septon. You know, and the Septons don't like her. And then it's a maester like reading the text years later, talking about the whole thing and like writing the history down. So.
I'll light a candle and
like, when they say like as it, when you like book Rhaenyra is like fat, you know, like
yeah, really. She's very, very, she seems honestly evil in the books, but how much of that is actual reality, I mean, we really just don't know. So the TV depiction of Rhaenyra has been really fun. It's
probably
to
closer to the truth.
I would like to think so. Maybe that's just because I think Emma Darcy's amazing.
The fictional truth inside of the history that is, you know, like
gets degrees, a little confusing.
The degrees you have to jump through to like talk, you know.
We're so far down the rabbit hole, we don't know where the beginning or the ending is. It's just we're in darkness. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So all of the stuff with Ormond is great. Again, I said Helena might be the best character in the show. Also, she kind of poked herself with the needle there. After she was drawn.
Oh, yeah. That was tough.
A little self-harm.
Well, also, is that any kind of, you know, hands being injured? Is that at all connected also to Rhaenyra getting cut by the throne?
Maybe.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Rhaenyra gets cut by the throne. Now, Alicent keeps telling her, you really have to eat. Now, of course, she should have to eat because she is pregnant. Mm-hmm. But was there moon tea in that soup?
And how would Helena react to that if so?
Yeah, I think there was.
I think there was too.
Yeah. And then she asks her, Helena asks her, were there no other suitors? Remember, Rhaenyra specifically offered Jace, but Alicent didn't want it because, I don't want a bastard. And
that was soul crushing. And also, what a moment for Helena to stand up to her mother. Because what she is saying, what Alicent is saying, we must escape. We are prisoners here. And Helena is saying, Mom, I've been a prisoner my whole life. Yeah. That's what she's saying. And I got chills when I heard her say that because I was like, she's saying what's not being spoken. She's making her read between the lines. I've never had freedom.
Yeah, which she's the best character this whole season. Everything is so fantastic.
I'll go a little step further. I would say Allison's relationship with her children is one of the best parts of the show. Not because she's doing a good job, by the way, but because it's all very compelling.
The dynamics. Yeah, the dramatic dynamics. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Aegon, sure. Aemon, now Helena. It's like, gosh, yeah. Allison.
Let's go. Some other notes here. I have Ulf, the white, showing why you should never become too important at work.
I'm going through that now too.
It became too important, man.
You know, Ulf might be my spirit animal.
I will say, I think the stuff with Ulf and with Hugh is the way that they are just because again, in the books, it's just kind of like again, they become dragon riders and then they go on and do stuff. But I think getting all of this backstory is
Hugh, man.
Expand the expansions of their character is fantastic as well.
Yeah, and Hugh's wife, which I forget the character's name in which she plays, but Hugh's wife's performance, the actress, she was fantastic in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're being forced to, and I mean, Ulf had a little bit of he told Rhaenyra off last week. It's like,
he's not making friends in the Red Keep.
Just so you know, they hate you, by the way.
Which sets off a large amount of what Rhaenyra, I would imagine, is feeling as paranoia.
Yeah. And she raided the you can see how one of the things I've liked this season is the quick fixes and how they have which decision to make this quick decision or this decision and how they all have implications. Right. Mm-hmm. She chose to go against the lords to steal food for people, but now the people still need stuff. She chose not to give gold to the Gold Cloaks, who Daemon says, we need to give the Gold Cloaks the gold. And she chose not to do that. So, yeah, you can see how sometimes you just putting band-aids on something that requires to be, you know, fixed. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Aemond and Alice Rivers, and then we can kind of just jump around and talk about whatever.
Dreamfire's eggs, holy cow.
Yeah,
that's big, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Rivers is in need of a Targaryen.
Yeah, House Rivers is in need of a Targaryen. And also just talking about, like, because her in the books, we have no clue what happens. Her story is completely unfinished. Like, even the stuff that happens in the Dance of the Dragons, it's just like completely open-ended. So we don't even know. We have no clue.
Yeah, but this stuff that, I'm all here for.
Yeah, we know that she's like a witch, and she gets with Aemon, and that's basically it, right? I mean, there's some more stuff. There's like, it's all completely open-ended. So even George has not even like completely finished her story in World of Ice and Fire. So we have no clue in the books even.
Mm-hmm.
But we've always thought, man, maybe she's more an agent of like the others, and like, I mean, like the cold gods or the great other in the books, as it described. That doesn't mean she's like working for the White Walkers, but the great other as a god, which in the books you can go down Bran and Bloodraven, and they might be working for him without knowing. We don't know yet because Winds of Winter isn't out. So totally different, right? Like, than just like, oh, she's working for the White Walkers. But now she's saying, oh no, actually we need Targaryens here, ancient magic and Targaryen magic and this ancient seat. It's pretty cool stuff.
Big implications to the lore of it all. And you have to wonder if she is maybe perhaps working for another force. Do they need those dragon eggs to hatch and to be trained for their purposes? I wonder about that. And then you have Helaena stitching Aemon and his little blue eye. And we talked about, whenever we saw that, the only thing we can think of is White Walkers. And right. I do think that the stuff at Harrenhal is going to connect to the others some way, somehow.
Oh, yeah, to the bigger Song of Ice and Fire. I agree, too.
I would think so.
Right, because, I mean, Daemon, the visions Daemon saw, he saw Bloodraven, and then he saw Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he clearly thinks something to do with that. And as we know, I mean, is Aemon going to try to wake those dragon eggs up? Because as we know, I mean, you just go read World of Ice and Fire or Fire and Blood. I mean, anytime Targaryens try to raise dragons, things go bad, man.
When they assume they understand how they work, it's bad. Right.
I mean, Daenerys wasn't doing it to raise the dragons specifically, but it still ultimately was part of the process, and didn't end up well for Khal Drogo.
It did not. You could argue it didn't end up well for Dany.
In the long run, yeah.
In the long run, yeah.
In the long run, most things don't end up well for anybody in Westeros.
That, or in real life.
Yeah. That too. So, I don't know what you're hinting at.
What we talked about before the show.
Oh, yeah. I was joking about the news. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you don't know, but is that going to be something? Do you think we'll see Aemond try to raise those dragons?
Yes, dude, something's got to happen with those eggs. Like, you can't introduce that, not do something, anything. I don't care. Do something with them.
Right. Cause who is it that said, somebody said the line of like, well, we have like, oh no, I think it was Gwaine talking about, we have one and they have five.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, so we need to even the numbers.
Yeah, and I think it could change strategy if people become aware of it. Like, this is, I don't know, to me, it's pretty massive and also really cool. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, okay. What were some of your big thoughts about the episode, Jimmy?
So I think you covered a lot of it. I think it was pretty thorough. I'm sure there's something we forgot. I have two things I want to say I did not love. And one what actually pertains to the prophecy and the bigger implications to the series connections. And it's not because they're trying to connect them. Me and Matt have said, we're not naive. They are going to connect their number one most successful show to this spinoff. It's going to happen. Get over it. However, I thought Damon's line at the small council about this is your prophecy. This is he like almost like quickly yeah. says it in front of all these people. And I just thought it was really forced. It was the first time where I felt it was just 100% forced.
Like HBO execs. Like we need this.
Anyway. Yeah. They might forget. No, we won't. Shut up. I don't need the spoon feed of it. And it just didn't fit the moment for me. And maybe other people feel differently. I'd actually be curious what people think about that line. I didn't like it. Again, I want to be clear. It's not because of the prophecy or them, whatever, the show canon. That's fine. It's specifically the way they jammed it in there. And my first thought was that was awkward. And then my second thought was, man, the people who do not like this piece of the story are going to be really pissed about that. Right. The other thing that we have to talk about, and I want to give Alan props. I think his character being expanded probably at the expense of Corliss.
That's my last little note here. I was like, yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, at the expense of Corliss, I think Alan has been phenomenal. And I think if we watch this all together and we forget about the season 2-3 split that happened because of the executives, I think Corliss has had a large amount of his arc taken care of. And I know there's changes, but I'm just saying, like, you have to spotlight different actors and they only have so much time. And I think right now is Alan's time as a Valerian to have his moment. I don't like him and Bela at all. It's simply for the fact that we just did not get enough of Bela's fallout from Jace, which is interesting because I think this show has done a good job of fallout to the point where
I think they had one scene.
I
think there's one where she's like standing in the hallway and then another one where she was talking to Adam and she's like, well, not enough. Look at me. Yeah, I agree. And
it's not.
To
just finish my point. I don't think it's enough. This show has taken really good care to show fallout to almost a detriment to the casual viewers who just want dragon action. Cause they're like, oh, this episode's slow. It's like, well, no, you have to kind of like let this process. And like Rhaenyra can't just be up and ready to go the next episode. She has to Allison, all these people, right? The only defense I will give, and I do think it's thematically relevant because of Helena's stuff, is that it is a pledge to marry. It's not that Bela sought out Jace from being such a small child. Unless if I'm forgetting a line they've included, it is an arranged marriage and now she has found organic love. So you could argue that, but still to me feels very forced.
I mean, but all of the stuff where they showed them, it's not like they, you know, it's not like where they just absolutely detested each other or something. I mean, it definitely felt like there was some actual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Know. There's chemistry there. Yeah,
the chemistry there. But again, this is a point that does happen in the books, is they do begin a romance. And in the books, I think this is another thing where I said it benefits from just reading it on a page because you can just feel the time in between, whereas this feels like it was like 2 days ago. And so hold on a second. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, I think like the scene itself is totally fine. It like if we had maybe had like one or two more scenes in between, and like, you know, if you have this happen in episode 8 or something, that like if you had this happen in episode 8, actually, you know what? This totally would have worked if the first two episodes had been in last season.
Because that's what I'm saying. That's what
we would have had the time
to process with.
Right. Bela. But even if you were, it's weird.
This is one of the few things me and you keep saying on binge. This is going to be better. This is going to be better. This is going to be better. This is actually going to be worse on binge.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because it's going to feel even faster.
Yeah, but even sometimes when you're binging, like you can still see like season 2, like, you know, you like, oh, this is a season 2 episode. Like you still have that resolve. So even when you're binging something, like you still do feel the time in between when you're binging, like between season 2 and season 3. But yeah, the actual scene itself is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But we just needed a little more context to get us there.
Yeah, and the plot point, like you said, I mean, this is actually true to the source material in the sense that they do get together and there is a romance. I just, you know, you can't have Bela on screen like 2 times since her betrothed died.
Right. Because it also feels like she just met this man who is also her uncle, which I know Targaryen, you know, whatever. But still, I mean, you know what I mean?
It's her half uncle, right? Because her granddad is Corlys, and Corlys is Alan's dad as a bastard. So it's her half uncle.
Yes. So that makes it like 25% or 16.
It's not enough. It's not enough. That's tough.
Right.
That's a tough one.
That's actually probably way less than Targaryens, where it's it's a much higher percent. So, yeah, but I agree with you. Everything he's doing is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really happy with
all the performances are great, but I think I agree with you that we just needed a little bit more to get us in that plot point of her character, which is actually good because maybe we'll start getting a lot more of her character because I think her character's been totally interesting. I think in the whole show she's been underused.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
Yeah. We did get a little more Rhaena in the Vale.
She got slapped.
Yeah. I know where it's supposed to go plot wise, but I'm still just waiting for it to do. So I almost feel like you could have completely taken that scene out of this episode and you could just put that into maybe next week's episode when she has more screen time and it would have been totally fine.
Yeah. It does make you wonder, like we just talked about how we felt as if there hasn't been enough Baela since Jace's passing. However, Rhaena has just been getting so much screen. I mean, not so much screen time, but frequency has been a lot higher.
Sure.
I will say I loved watching the leader of the Vale like just be assertive because there's a sense of pride with the Vale, and I think that it's displayed really well. Moondor, by the way, it never, you know, it's always an impact.
Jane Arryn.
Yeah. Jane Arryn. Yeah. And to see someone flying out the moon door.
She's fantastic too, but
she's really good. Yeah.
Right. You know, they never did we see her? I'm trying to blank. Did we see her in season two? I have to go back and think about that for a second.
I can't remember.
Cause like the whole deal is that she's, you know, I guess she's, well, she is. She would be Jace's grandmother. Yes. Mm-hmm. No.
I don't know that family tree.
She would be Jace's great aunt because what's her name? Oh God, is his wife who is Allison is Viserys's wife was Arryn. Emma Arryn is Viserys's wife, which is Rhaenyra's mother, which would make. Yeah, so I think it'd be his great aunt. Right, but in the books, it's hinted at that Jace had to perform some duties to get when he shows up and he's like circling around.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about, I guess she was in the earlier seasons, wasn't she? Yes.
I think just season two.
I will say one performance I'm not super keen on has been Rhaena. I don't know. I want to see where it goes. I am interested in that. I thought the Daemon scene was probably the best scene so far. Love Sheepstealer more than any of the other dragons, I think. But I don't know if the performance has been the best from Rhaena personally.
I think it's, I can't fault her performance. I think it's all, I think it's all direction. I think it's all.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think a lot of, yeah. It's really difficult for actors to actually have like a bad performance.
Well, Missaria, for instance, we were bagging on her, but she's actually a decent actress.
Right. I mean, unless you go watch the live action Moana and you see the Rock just sort of walking through the whole thing that he wanted from the get go. I mean, then that I would say is a bad performance.
Yeah.
But yes, that's what I would consider to be a bad performance. But I think a lot of it is just all direction, which again, with her taking Nettle's storyline, it's not going to amount to much for a while.
I think it has. And
then it might become super important. It might be even more important because the real question is what happened. The real question with her is her story going to go down her path? Or is it going to go down Nettle's path? Because
that's a good question.
Her path is she just gets married and has a bunch of kids. I mean,
I don't think that's going to happen. I think there has to be a reckoning between her and Baela.
I think it's going to be more Nettle's path, which we don't know what happens. Because again, just like it's just sort of open-ended, like Alice River. George hasn't completely told the story of it. So we don't know. Even the books, we don't know.
By episode 8, we'll have a better idea, because I think she's going to have a pretty defining moment by the end of
the season. I agree too. Yeah, I think she will as well. But yes, by the way, for the people that don't know, that are like, wait, hold on, what, Jace had to hook up with his great aunt? I think it's like a mushroom telling, is that she would only pledge her support if Jace were to bring her some pleasure with his tongue. But that's mushroom for you. That's what he says, man.
You know, maybe book loyalty isn't the right thing, folks. Maybe it's better off that we don't go directly by the book.
I know.
Oh, George.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts here on this week's episode? I banger episode. I'm
gruesome.
4 out of 5 for me. I don't like to do half stars, but 4.5, 5 stars for me. But again, where we're in the books is just so off the rails.
Yeah. I loved this episode, and I know people want the dragon stuff and everything. I just loved the last 3 episodes and how dialogue heavy they've been. I think they're moving characters around in a decent way. The only thing I saw online was someone saying that people are teleporting again. Folks, they don't have 13 episodes or even 10 episodes anymore. It is what it is. You can't show every single person on the road at the end. I get it, but it's television. Okay, it's not as egregious as a lot of the other stuff I've seen out there. So
yeah,
relax.
Real quick, Kristen Cole's death. What do you?
No, I love it.
We talked about it a little bit. I guess for me, from a book perspective, it's, you know, in the books it feels more. We don't see the beaten, broken down that he's at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's just what I wasn't expecting, like his arc to go that way.
Yeah, they had to have it be
it's actually almost page for page exactly how he dies. Mm-hmm. But they got us there by having him this like beaten, broken down thing, which I thought more like season 2, where like you want to like kill the guy. You're like, God, this guy's terrible, and you know, it's like I would be really looking forward to his death, and now I just kind of felt sad by the whole thing. Just like, yeah, you know, you kind of feel for him too. I mean, his arc from start to finish. I mean, he got used a lot. He himself got used a lot too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It would have been really easy just to make Cole the laughable villain, and then it comes to an end. But there was a piece of me that, like I said, I had almost pity for him by the end. And I also think as a show watcher, and knowing that there's only one more season of this show, there is just that feeling of, we are coming to a close. This show is almost over. And as people look forward to it, we really like, MAGA, we know there's going to be a lot more demises.
A lot more.
So we got to prepare ourselves for it. And, you know, whether we hate the characters or love them, they are characters we have feelings about, which always makes for compelling TV. And yeah, there'll be a lot of reaction, I think, to the stuff coming up.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we'll do some predictions on Patreon. So I feel like we're at a close here. Some spoilery predictions. So for anybody who wants to check that, you can listen to Patreon here, and Jimmy, I'll fire those off here in a minute as we are recording. So with that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that winter is coming.